Good morning and welcome to our service. We begin our worship with a prayer to our Lord and God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are gathered here in your house to hear your holy word, to offer up our prayers and petitions, and to sing your praises. We seek your blessing upon our worship so that we might worship in spirit and in truth for your honor and glory and for our benefit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first hymn is 791, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. Please stand. We conduct this service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we've disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy upon me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you of all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has removed your guilt forever. Through faith in him, which was created in you by the Holy Spirit, you are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. Amen. Pray. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, you proclaimed him your beloved Son, in whom you were well pleased. Keep us who are baptized into Christ faithful in our calling, and enable us to finally enjoy the inheritance of eternal life in heaven through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading is taken from the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verses 1 to 13, where we find the Lord revealing to Samuel that David, the son of Jesse, was to be the next king. It was customary that when a king was chosen, that they would pour out anointing oil on the head. And that signified the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon that government leader to help him carry out his work. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peacefully?" And he said, "Peacefully. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was, when they came, that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see man as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for he will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. The second reading is from Titus, Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 3, verses 4 to 7. Here, Paul speaks of our baptism and what it does for us. Baptism is referred to as a washing of regeneration, a rebirth. We're born again, brought to faith in Christ through baptism. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Stand. We confess our faith in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the singing of hymn 405, "To Jordan's River Came Our Lord." Thank you. Please stand for the reading of the sermon text. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of our Lord that we consider this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So far our text. Please be seated. In the name of the promised Lord in Christ, the Lord Jesus, dear fellow redeemed. At the beginning of each church year, we customarily hear about John the Baptist, the great forerunner of Jesus. The Bible accounts of John's ministry tell of him carrying out an important work in the wilderness of Judea, preaching and baptizing. John prepared the Jews for Jesus' coming by calling sinners to repentance and inviting them to believe in Jesus for forgiveness and salvation. John could announce such a wonderful invitation because he rightly pointed out Jesus as God's anointed sacrificial lamb who takes away the sin of the world by pouring out his lifeblood on the cross in atonement for them. John also came baptizing in the name of the one true God in order that sinful man might receive and enjoy the assurance and the guarantee of God's blessed gift of pardon and eternal salvation through Jesus Christ. In order for John the Baptist to effectively serve as a messenger who would prepare Jesus' way, he needed to be shown and fully convinced that Jesus was indeed the promised one. He very likely heard reports from his parents, Zacharias and Elizabeth and Mary and Joseph, of how they had an angel come to them and announce to them the birth of this very special baby, that he was the Son of God and Savior of the world. But this was secondhand. How much confidence could John have in saying, "Well, I know for sure that Jesus is the promised one"? Well, God said, "I'll give you a sign to convince you." And this is what the Lord said of Jesus, or John said, "I did not know him," that is Jesus, "but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'" So on the day of Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River, John received the divine proof concerning Jesus when he saw the Holy Spirit descending from the skies above, like in the form of a dove, and landing on Jesus. And then he heard the majestic voice from the clouds above, the voice of the Heavenly Father saying about Jesus, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So John received the sign, and he was convinced. This is the promised Lord in Christ, Jesus. As Christians, we know that these truths concerning Jesus are not cold and lifeless historic facts that hold no special meaning for us. For without heavenly testimony that confirms Jesus' divine sonship, we would neither know or believe in Jesus as God's chosen sacrificial lamb who takes away our sins and gives us the gift of heaven. We too need to have confidence that Jesus is the promised one, our Lord and Savior. So we never want to quickly pass by or overlook any testimony in Holy Scripture that would build up and fortify an unshakable faith in us that Jesus is in truth our Lord and Savior. Baptism. That is the baptism of John the Baptizer, and the baptism with which we were baptized is one of those gracious means that God the Holy Spirit uses to equip us with that faith that enables us to confidently believe in Jesus through believing, receiving all that He has worked out for us as our Savior. In babies, and this is the amazing thing, in babies, the Holy Spirit works through baptism to give them faith to believe in Jesus and thus become a child of God and an heir of eternal life. For adults who already have come to faith through the Word of God, baptism serves to confirm their faith in Jesus because baptism is God's promise to you. His very special promise that says those who believe and are baptized will be saved. I remember years ago, our son Joel sent us something to hang on the wall, and it says, "Did you remember your baptism? The day that you were baptized?" How often we forget. We should remember, because that's God's promise to you, that He will keep without fail. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Can a person with an adult person without baptism be saved? Look at the thief on the cross. He came to faith just at the very end before he died. Didn't have a chance to be baptized. So Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So yes, a person who believes and is not baptized can be saved. But once you come to faith, you certainly want to have that wonderful covenant, that wonderful promise that God makes to you in baptism to kind of fortify and strengthen your faith. Now, when Jesus approached John about Jesus being baptized, initially John resisted it, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?" Jesus recognized that he needed baptism because he was a sinner. He needed to have that wonderful covenant and his assurance that his sins were washed away. But Jesus? Why Jesus? He's the sinless Son of God. He didn't have any sins that needed to be washed away. Why would Jesus have any need to be baptized if he had no sin? And he was already a child of God. He was the eternal Son of God from eternity. Jesus gave this brief explanation for the reason for him to be baptized. "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." No one should mistakenly think that this meant Jesus was saying by this is a new commandment of the law that you now have to keep and obey. Contrary to what Reformed churches teach, baptism is not a new law of God to obey like the Ten Commandments. Rather, it is the wonderful means of grace in which God does truly wonderful things for us, just as was said earlier. A baby is brought to faith through baptism. For believing adults, it confirms their faith and gives that covenant promise to them. If Jesus was not fulfilling the righteousness of the law, what then? Why did he have to be baptized? He was simply saying that this was the right and proper thing for him to do as our substitute. As our substitute, he had to do all the different things that God calls upon us to have done or do, such as be baptized, even though he personally didn't need it. In regard to all that Jesus did in life and in death as our Savior, it's comforting and reassuring for us to hear the Heavenly Father declare concerning His Son from the heavens above. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God was announcing to those people present and to us that Jesus had done everything perfectly up to this point as our substitute. And God was well pleased with it. He accepted it. It's a statement of approval. And he repeated it at the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was coming to the very end of his mission before he shortly would have to be lifted up on the cross. Again, Father said, I'm well pleased with everything that Jesus has done. So that, well, since the Heavenly Father was well pleased with all that Jesus did as our Savior, we can put our faith and trust in this wonderful work for us. And when we do so, God transfers to us all of Jesus' righteousness. So now God can look at each and every one of us who believe in Jesus. You are my child, in whom I am well pleased. I find no fault or failing in you. I see you as righteous children of God because we have been covered with Christ's righteousness. This is a wonderful truth that's far better for us to embrace and hold on to than the philosophy of the world that would try to explain away all of our faults and failings and would say, I'm just fine the way I am. I don't need a Savior. Now, I don't know if Mr. Rogers was saying that. Maybe. You remember watching Mr. Rogers years ago? And he'd say about all the children watching, I like you just the way you are. It kind of bothered me. Because it kind of countered what Jesus has done for us. He's covered us with his righteousness. Now God can say, I like you, I love you as a righteous child of God. So I don't know what Mr. Rogers meant by that, but anyway, it bothered me. No, Jesus' righteous life lived for us is the only answer to make us right with God. That is, making us righteous before God. Another important truth demonstrated at Jesus' baptism, which we all know and never want to lose our hold on, is the manifestation of the one true God. It's clearly seen there. Clearly seen that God is made up of three distinct persons of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have the Heavenly Father in the clouds above announcing, Jesus, this is my only begotten Son in whom I'm well pleased. We've got the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, descending like as in the form of a dove and landing upon Jesus, and we have Jesus down below. Three distinct persons of the Godhead. This eliminates the false notion that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are just three different names for one God. Neither is it saying that we have a belief in a polytheistic God, that is, many gods. No. As Scripture has testified elsewhere, There are three persons of Godhead united together as one. And so we refer to him as the triune God, the three-in-one God. Now, none of us can wrap our heads around that. It's beyond us. We just accept it with a childlike faith because the word of truth, God's word of truth, reveals God as such. So we believe he's a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three united as one. Living in a day and age where the religious community has relegated the God of the Bible as being one of many ways that God can be defined, understood, and believed in, how important it is for us to review again and again and again the belief in the one true triune God. Looking back to what happened with the children of Israel, God's chosen people, after years being in the promised land, they began to adopt the beliefs of their heathen neighbors, believing in many different false gods along with the triune God. That's the way the devil was working back then with the Israelites, and he continues to work the same thing today to rob us of the belief of the only one true God who alone can save us eternally. Rejoice in and make known to others the wonderful fact that the Heavenly Father who created all things and sustains all things, he gave us life and breath. Jesus, the only begotten Son, he made it possible for us to be adopted into God's family, become God's righteous children when he paid the price for our sins on the cross. And the Holy Spirit, he's the one who brought us to faith in the true God, and Jesus as our Savior. He is the one who gives us a wonderful, comforting feeling of God's pardon and God's unfailing love. And he fills our hearts with love so that we willingly obey and keep his commands to love. And he gives us hope. Hope where there doesn't seem to be any hope at all. Hope that God gives us is unfailing and is eternal. Many other wonderful truths for our lives found in the special events of Jesus' baptism. May we cherish them and never lose our hold on them. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God that surpasses understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the singing of hymn 404, Jesus Once with Sinners Numbered. Please stand for the prayers. In addition to the general prayer, special prayers have been requested for Chris Holt, who dislocated his hip falling down the stairs at home. He is in the hospital recovering. Also, we want to offer up prayers for those who were affected by the wildfires, and also for the incoming government officials. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for every day of health that you have given to our fellow Christian, Chris Holt, and for every measure of strength that you have granted his body and mind. And now we come to you in his hour of need, asking you mercifully to restore his health and strength, if it is your will. Let him experience no further distress from his injury. We dare to ask this of you, sinners though we are, because Jesus died for us to take away our sins, and it is for his sake that we can come to you with our petitions. Help Chris to use his days of health as well as his moments of suffering to the glory of your name. O God of love, anoint all who are sick and injured with your balm of healing. We pray also for those who have been affected by the horrendous wildfires in Southern California. O Lord, we look to you to serve as an unfailing source of help in the recovery effort, and give all those who are weighed down and troubled to find reason for hope in this world and in the next in you, their merciful Lord and God. Dear Lord, we know by faith that you oversee all things in nature and that you govern it according to your gracious purpose for the eternal good of all humankind. We pray on behalf of all the unbelievers who have suffered loss in this natural disaster that you would use these trials to cause them to seek after you so that they might find you as their loving Savior and Redeemer. And for the believers who have been adversely affected by the wildfires, that you use these trying experiences to draw them closer to you in faith. We thank you for protecting our fellow members of Southern California from the wildfires, and we pray that you will continue to watch over them and keep them safe from all harm and danger. As the day fast approaches for new government officials to assume their offices, we pray for them that you bestow upon them good judgment, divine wisdom, and godly integrity as they carry out their civil duties. Grant them the grace to be able to govern our country in a manner that will serve for the good of all those dwelling in our land, and to promote peace and tranquility in our native land. Give them a sense of true justice and morality, so that our land may be governed in such a way that your name may be hallowed, your kingdom may come, and your will be done. O God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus and for making known in him the mystery of your gracious will, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. We offer thanks for the redemption that you have given us through the blood of his cross, for the forgiveness of our sins, for deliverance from all evil, and for the hope of glory in heaven. We praise you, Lord, for you have bestowed upon us your saving word, through which your Holy Spirit has called us to faith and enlightened our understanding. We pray, O God, that the gospel of Christ crucified for sinners may have free course in the lives and hearts of people the world over, that your house may be filled with believers from every race and nation, and that heaven and earth may ring with songs of praise for this great salvation. Graciously help us, O God, to redeem the time, using our days wisely as disciples of our Lord. Stir us up to use the gifts that you have given us for the work of your kingdom. Renew in us a steadfast spirit. Turn us away from the paths of sin. Comfort all who may be afflicted. Guard our loved ones wherever they may be. We especially ask, dear Lord, for your protection for those who are serving our country and the armed forces overseas, and for the potential victims of violence in foreign conflicts. Dear Lord, watch over your church throughout the whole world, and grant unto it faithful leaders who are true shepherds, proclaiming your word without error of human opinions. Dear Father, as we have received Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, so let us live our lives for him, rooted and built up in faith and abounding in all good works. All these things we pray in the name of him who loved the church and gave himself for it, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, in whose name we also join to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive with believing hearts the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please be seated. We conclude our service with the singing of the final hymn. As was mentioned in the prayer, Chris Holt suffered a dislocated hip falling down the stairs. He's in the hospital still, and he said that he is improving. So if you'd like to sign the card on the stand in the entryway and share any thoughts you might have for him, I'm sure he'd appreciate it. Board of Ed meets this week, and it's mistakenly said Wednesday. It should be Tuesday. So please, and our chairman will remind everybody of the correct day that we'll be meeting. Next week, we'll have a voters meeting with the annual reports being considered. Also at that meeting, we'll be considering the recommendation from the Board of Education concerning the future of our school, that is for the next school year. Ladies, please note the Zoom CLC Women's Retreat. There's a way of registering for it online in the bulletin. Also, the Ladies Auxiliary will be meeting on the last Sunday of this month. Oh, and it's we have a couple of birthdays on Monday. Thomas and Emilio. They will be 5 years old. And I would ask if you would to join in singing a birthday song. And since there are two of them, they're celebrating the same day, let's sing one for each, starting out by singing one for Thomas and then one for Emilio. And many more to come, Lord willing. May God in his grace be with you always.